As you're standing, we stand out of respect to our Lord. Psalm 90. Reading verses 1 through 12. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. Well, today is Vanessa's last Sunday to be playing the piano for us, right? Are you leaving? No, it's one more Sunday? One more Sunday, and then she'll be flying to Germany to go help serve with her in-laws in Germany. And Vanessa, this is my last Sunday with you here, because I'll be gone next week in Japan. But I just want to say thank you for all that you've done and how you've just added so much to our church. And Vanessa grew up in our church, and wonderful, wonderful young lady and her husband. And they're just great people, great servants. And we're going to certainly miss them. But that's what happens. You know, you get great servants, and then God calls them to do something else. And you're like, why, Lord? You know? But we're proud of you. We thank God for you. And I want you to know that. It means a lot. And we're excited for your future, what God's going to do with your life. Psalm 90, verse number 1, please, in the Scriptures. The Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we come to you realizing you are God. There is no other God. Lord, you are God that created all things. Lord, I pray today that you would just work in a powerful way in this service. Speak to the hearts of those who've come. Lord, those without Christ, may this be the day that they trust Christ as Savior. Lord, we pray that you would stir within us a commitment and a love for the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Why leave a heavenly mansion? Why choose a simple stall? Creation shining there for me. I stay in Olive's garden? Why spend the night in prayer? Why suffer such betrayal? In anguish kneeling there? Why leave his mother crying? Why set Barabbas free?
Thank you, Heather. I read about a man that was saved later in his life. He trusted Christ as his Savior as he got older in life, and he ran across this passage in the Psalm 90. Can I call your attention down to verse number 10? He ran across this verse, and it says this: the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And so he thought about this fact that he was only going to be around the earth maybe 70, perhaps 80 years. And so he devised this little plan. He thought, you know, if I'm only going to be here that short period of time, he said, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. When God says, teach us to number our days, here's what God is saying. God says he wants you to examine your life. And as you examine your life, you look at what are you doing with your life every day. So what he did was, he said, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy marbles with what's left of my life. Now, if 70 years is the average lifespan, according to the Bible, that's 25,550 days. And so what he thought was, he said, you know, I want to know about how many days I'm going to have left. And so what he did was he calculated, okay, I'm saved now, and I don't have a lot of time left, but I'm going to take, and here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to take a marble for every day. And what he did was, every day, he passed by two buckets. The first bucket was his current life and where he was and what he's living for that day. And then whenever he would end the day, he would drop in the marble. He did that regularly. Every day was a reminder. He'd look in there and he would see how much time he had left, how much time that he invested in his life. Same thing, and next day he would look. This is how much time I have left. This is what I've spent. And that's how he lived his life. The strange thing, though, was when he got to the end of the bucket, he was looking into the marbles, and he got to the 70th year, and the bucket was empty. And he wondered, wow, I'm still alive. Because when he got down, he could look in the bucket and see there was only 7 days. He thought, well, only 7 days, that's all I have left. But he kept on putting the marble in the bucket. And then the thought occurred to him. From 70 on, I'm living on borrowed time. I only have a few short days left. It's borrowed time. And then he would look, and he would look into the past, and he said, man, I wonder what I did for God. I wonder what did I do for God? And there's no time left. God is gracious to me. He's giving me another day. Do you realize what God is trying to get us to do is to count our days? He wants you to count your days. Because the bottom line is this: who owns time? It's not yours. It's God's. Imagine there's a bank which credits your account every morning with $86,400. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Believe me, it wouldn't come from the government, let me tell you. It carries over no balance from day to day, allows you to keep no cash balance, and every evening it cancels out whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during that day. What would you do? Probably would like, I would spend $86,400 every day. Amen? Well, there is such a bank, but it's not in money, it's time. That's what you have, 86,400 seconds every day. Every night, it writes off as lost whatever has not been used. It's gone. It carries no balance. You can't buy back yesterday, and you can't borrow against tomorrow. It's only for today. There's no going back. There's no borrowing. It's done. God tells us here that we are to number our days. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing with the number of days you have left on this earth? What are you doing with it? What have you done with the time that has already passed? Now, we can't change it. We can't change our past at all, and I'm sure if every one of us could, we would try to change some things in the past, but we can't. But we can do something with where we are currently. This morning you got up, 1 hour shorter. You got up and you came to church. That was a good investment of your time. And God tells us that if we count the number of our days, look if you would please to verse number 12. I want you to see this. He says, so if we number our days, we're to apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, wisdom is an interesting word because biblically speaking, wisdom is wrapped around the fear of the Lord. And what that means is that what I do is if I fear God and I know that what God says is right, then I'm going to take what God says and I'm going to apply that to my life. So wisdom is wrapped around the knowledge of God, and foolishness is wrapped around the rejection of God. So if a man acts foolish, he's a man that acts as if there is no God. In fact, the Bible said in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
So a man then understands that if he's going to be wise and act wisely and live according to the wisdom of the Bible, then he needs to apply his heart daily to the dictates or to the guidance of God himself. And all of us have wasted our days. We've all messed up our days in that we've turned our back away from the things of God. But God says we can't change the past. I mean, we can look at the marbles, and sometimes we do that. You know, in our past, we'll look back and say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done this. And, you know, man, I really shouldn't have done that. And I don't know about that. That was good. I liked it. I remember that. And, I don't know. We can't change that. That's all done. But what we can do is decide right now that if I'm going to live my day like I'm supposed to, and when I close out my day, I'm going to say, well, that's been a good day because I honored God. I applied my heart to wisdom. So how do we do that? Well, it's interesting. This psalm happens to be a prayer of Moses. Moses, what he was doing was he was contemplating and reflecting on the eternality of God and how short man's life is. And he was writing about that because he was recognizing the fact that we have only so much life that we can live here, only so much time we are afforded here, only so much of this time that we occupy called space, and that we should use our life in great wisdom for God. How do we do that? How am I to apply myself? Well, I want you to write down three perspectives on how we do this. Number one, write this one down. A man who applies his heart to wisdom is a man who, number one, recognizes God in our lives. We recognize God in our life. Verses 1 through 3, did you notice what the Bible says? The Bible says that he has a plan for my life, verse number 1. Notice what he says in verse 1 there of Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The word dwelling place means a place which I can come and if you would, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but I want to use the word that we can understand. We hang out with God. We dwell with God, if you would. It's a place where we can go to God and we can dwell with God and we can talk with God and he talks with us. In other words, from all generations that I can go and talk to God. He has a plan for my life. That plan is wrapped around God. By the way, this is God's world. This is God's planet. He owns it all. I'm reminded of the little boy who was out playing one time in the streets of London years ago. He was playing with some friends back when London was a little less of the city than it is today. It got late into the evening and darkness had fallen and he was very afraid. As he was going along the street trying to find his way home, a gentleman came up to him and saw him in despair and said to him, young man, what's wrong? How can I help you? And he says, mister, I cannot find my way home. And he said, well, that'd be easy. Tell me what your address is and I will take you home. He says, I don't know my address. And he says, well, what does your house look like? And he described his house. And that wasn't good enough. And he said, well, tell me, what other thing can you think of? And he says, oh, yes. Find the cross in the city. I live right behind the cross. That's where home is. Folks, I want to tell you this. You know where home is? It's next to the cross for you. That's what life is about. Life is not about recreation and money and fame and prestige and promotion. It's about the cross. God has a life for you and for me as a plan That if I'm going to number my days, that God, we're to recognize God in our lives every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, that God is to be a part of our life. But then secondly, underneath that, I want you to notice, he is the originator of life. Do you realize that God made heaven and earth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says. Psalm 33 says it like this: by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Do you realize today that we have this idea of this evolution is not in line with Scripture? God created the heaven and the earth. He spake, and the Bible said it stood. That's the powerful God that we have. And just like God made the physical world, God also made the spiritual world as well. And just like God originated life in the physical world, God originates life in the spiritual world as well. In other words, a man cannot become alive spiritually without the work of Jesus Christ in his life. That's why it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But here's the next verse. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Look, today, without Jesus Christ, you have no life. You know, we may fool ourselves into thinking, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm right on target. Hey, wisdom says this: dear God, I want to invest my life in you. Lord, I want to apply my heart to wisdom because I realize that I need you in my life. And the only way I can have you in my life is by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The only way that life can be really worth anything and be fulfilled is by having you in my life. And Lord, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I mean, that's just the way it is. Boy, walking with him every day, what a wonderful privilege that is. He's the originator of life. He's the originator of what real life is all about. And what I do is, as I recognize God in my life, I realize that not only does he have a plan for my life, not only is he originator of life, but he's the author of time. Time's not very long. The Bible says here in verse number 2, before the mountains were, before there was creation, before there was anything, there's God. In other words, before that anything physically that you see, there was God. God was around before, and God, I'll remind you, will be around long after we're gone. He authored time. Have you ever thought about time? What is time, really? I don't know about you, but, you know, like when I saw the fact that we changed the clock again. You guys like to change the clock. Kind of aggravating, isn't it? Just about the time I get all the clocks changed, time to change them back. And then then you get to sleep late in the fall, and then you have to get up early in the spring. This is about the time I'd rather sleep late and get up early in the fall. But what is time, really? You ever thought about it? I don't know what happened, but it seems like to me, I looked around one day and all of a sudden, what I used to think was old, that's how old I am. Isn't it weird? And what's really odd is all the young people call me old now, you know? When did that happen? When did that start? You know, and they used to, and they'll say, oh, Dad, that's how it was in the olden days when you grew up. When did that happen? What is time? What is it really? I mean, I've often wondered about that, and time is life, isn't it? In fact, time is this. You may want to write this down. Look, here's what we have. We have a God that was before there was time, right? Look at verse 2. God was before there was time. Now we have time. When time is no more, guess what? We have a God that still is after time. So we have a God before time. We have God after time. It's the same God. So what is time? Well, here's the way I look at it. Time is an interlude. It's like a conduit between two eternities. Eternity future, eternity past. That's what God is. God is the one that authored time, because time is only invented for us. Because, can you ever thought about this? Do you know when you get to heaven, there is no time? There are no clocks, no time changes. There are no calendars in heaven. We don't need them. Because time is not necessary in eternity. You know, we sing this song, "When I've been there 10,000 years, amazing grace." You could say 10 billion years. In fact, you don't even have to use that phrase at all, because, can I remind you? There's no time in heaven. What is time? You know, some people use time for their own things. But when you do that, guess what? We just kind of wasted some time. God says, we're the wisest thing we can do is recognize God in our life. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, I want to tell you today, God says that is the greatest thing you can start with. Recognize Him. Wise men still seek Him, as that phrase says. But let's look at something else we can do. There's another perspective I want you to get. Number two is realize the brevity of our lives. As for man, the Bible says, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. I tell you this, life is transitory. Life is changing all the time. I mean, it's just the way it is. When we read verse number 9, that's what he says, for our days are passed away in thy wrath. Now, those of us who know Christ, we don't have to worry about the wrath of God, because we're forgiven. Amen? That's taken care of by Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he took all of our sin and all of our wrath, he took it on himself. And when we accepted Christ, God said, the payment's already been paid. But what he says is this. He says our lives are just like that. It's transitory. The metaphor is that our lives are like the story that just is told, and it just passes. You ever notice that mankind tries to stop the aging process, though? It's kind of funny. You know, we've got all kinds of aging, anti-aging stuff, don't we? Pills, creams, lotions, all kinds of stuff. Certain foods. Yeah, you eat this, it'll make you stay young. Really? So that means that if I keep eating it, I'll get younger and younger instead of get older and older? Is that how it works? I was kind of being, you know, funny thinking about this, but I put it in your notes there. According to a March 10th, 2008 report by 2010, anti-aging product sales annually, they say, will reach $115 billion. That was their prediction. So that means that you know what? If I really want to capture into what they're trying to tell me, then I buy all these creams and lotions and pills and foods and vitamins and all the other things. I'm going to get younger and younger. My hair will grow back. Right? And I'm going to be really, really young, and I'll probably be like a teenager when I turn 70. Right? No, the truth of the matter is, we all know it. You can't stop the aging process. You can't stop life. We've all liked to do that. Maybe been on vacation. We're having a great time. I wish everything could just stand still for a time. It can't. Life is transitory. Everything you see is changing. Everything you see is going to change. There's no doubt about it. That same person that I looked at when I was 18, now I look at, he's totally different. Life is transitory. There is a brevity about life. It's only brief. I was thinking about this. I looked at my kids. My baby girl turned 21 Monday. My baby girl. What happened? Life. It's transitory. It's just happening that way. And the brevity of life in what God, if he's telling us, look, teach me to number my days. The question I want to ask you is, what are you doing with your days? What are you doing with your days for God? Life, since it's transitory and since it's moving so rapidly, man, I just tell you, I've got like 5 lifetimes of things I want to do for God, and I don't have a whole lot of time left. If I die at 70, that means I've got 16 years. Wow. That's quick. Maybe 26 years if I still had the strength left. That's what it says. So since life is transitory and life is temporary, according to verse number 10, that means that in 70 years I have 3,640 weeks. 3,640 weeks. I wonder how many of those weeks I wasted. That's what it means. Many would rather exchange time for dollars or pleasure for time or time for hobbies or whatever the case is. And certainly there's nothing wrong with hobbies and those kinds of things. But here's the point. I want to exchange my time for God. Our lives are short and brief at best. They seem to fly by. If time is life, then when we waste time, guess what we do? We waste life. And what God is saying is, you must be careful. Because if we're going to apply our hearts to wisdom, number one, we must recognize God in our lives. We must recognize God in our lives. Number two, we must realize the brevity of life. Our lives are brief. They're just like a vapor, the Bible said, that appear for a little time and vanish away. I was wondering about vapor, and one day I was driving in come into church, and I looked at the muffler in front of me of the car for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe boredom. And I saw a puff of smoke come out of the end of that muffler. It was just like, poof, and that's how our life is. Brief. Life is extremely short. And so God says, teach me, Lord, to number my days that I may apply my hearts unto wisdom. Let me give you the third perspective. You ready? Here's the third one. We realize that we need to have God in our life. We realize that life is short and it's flying by so rapidly. But remember the eternity of our lives. All right, here's the way it works. Ready? Life is a journey. Life is a journey. But the destination is eternity. Life is a journey, but the destination is eternity. And here's the point. If we know that, we know the ultimate, that involves, number one, preparation. I want to be prepared. Now, we're used to that because here's what we do. Insurance is a perfect picture of making preparations for something that inevitably could happen. Okay, we may pay insurances all our life, but probably for the most of us, we will cash in insurance in some time or another in our lifetime. We do that so that we can be prepared. So, for example, you have a nice car, you get insurance, you have insurance, all that. You may go out here and hit a pole or something. That'd be a horrible thing. Hit a pole in a nice new car. You may do that. You may back in to a someone in a parking lot and hit their car. Guess what? You cash in. That's to prepare you for something like that. I think what bugs me about that, though, is have you ever noticed this? Whenever you use insurance, you pay thousands in and you pull out like $2,000 out, they raise it up another, 20%. You ever notice? Anybody know something like that? But we make preparations. Because here's the truth of the matter is, eternity is our destination. You say, but I don't want to go there. You can't do anything about it. That's where you're going. You're going there. I'm going there. All of us, we are looking at eternity just around the corner. You can't avoid it. It's like the uninterrupted appointment. The Bible says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You are headed for eternity. I am too. There's no doubt about it. That's where I'm going. I know that, and if I'm going to face eternity and stand before a holy God, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? I cannot say, well, I was a really good person. Is God going to say, oh, man, I shouldn't have sent Jesus then, right? I don't think so. The reason why he sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die is because man can't be good enough to get to heaven. Believe me, he wouldn't have sent his son to die on the cross for our sins if it was good enough for man, that man could be good enough rather to get to heaven. Every person, remember what I said? Home is near the cross. That's what it's all about. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What kind of preparations are you making for eternity? I read about Edward Payson. Some of you might have heard of Edward Payson. Edward Payson was called the Praying Payson of Portland. He was a great man of prayer. He used to kneel at his bedside and pray, and he would pray many, many hours. When Mr. Payson died, as they were preparing his body for burial, as they were washing the body and preparing it for burial, they noticed a strange thing about Mr. Payson. Mr. Payson had unusual knees. They weren't sure what it was. The only time they'd ever seen this was on a camel. But they looked at his knees and they were calloused and padded just like a camel's knees. Because when Mr. Payson would spend many hours in prayer, he had calloused knees from his prayer life. Very few knew about it. They prayed in those days. They didn't have carpet. They had hardwood floors. And according to history, he prayed by his bedside for many hours, that over time he had worn 6-inch grooves in the hardwood floors where he prayed. Let me tell you this. Mr. Payson was ready when eternity came. He was ready. Turning to Christ is the beginning of the preparation. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is the beginning. But not only that, but I think every Christian needs to be ready, because eternity is before us. And I want to be ready to stand in front of my Savior. And I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But not only is preparation, but it's destination. You realize eternity is the end of the line. My wife and I, we've been to New York City. You go on the subway in New York City. That's how you get around New York. Crazy to drive. I guess you could grab a taxi, but that's still crazy. So we got around the subway. You stay on the subway real long, here's what you're going to hear. You can ride all over the city, but there will come a time when you'll hear the subway driver say something like this. This is the end of the line. I heard it when I was in London. wrote on the tube. We go down the tube and they said, this is the end of the line. Eternity is the end of the line. How prepared are you? I would suggest to you the reason why God's saying, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, is because God knows that eternity is around the corner. We don't know how soon, we don't know how quickly, but we do know this, that it is coming. It is our destiny. It's our destination. And if life is a journey, our destination is eternity. And I just want to be ready when I stand before Him. I don't know when that will be, but I certainly know that I want to be ready. It's what we call the uninterrupted appointment. I'll not be late for that appointment. I'll not miss that appointment. I won't need someone to call me to tell me that, you know, you have an appointment next Tuesday. I won't need that because I won't know when. There's only one that does, and that's God. John Huffman describes an unforgettable moment with his daughter. He'd been on a mission trip overseas, and he had landed, this was many years ago when planes were a little bit different than they are today. When he landed, he could hardly wait to see his children and his wife. But he and the other passenger were detained in customs as they're trying to get through to get out to see his children and his wife. He was so excited. And several people are standing around. They were all anxiously waiting for their families to arrive. And just about the time as he was waiting, his little three-year-old girl, she broke through the crowd and she ran up and she saw her dad. She said, "That's my daddy! That's my daddy!" And she ran over there when he was released and she hugged his neck and said, "Daddy, I love you. I miss you, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, thank you for being home. Thank you, Daddy. I love you." Mr. Huffman said that he had never felt so loved and so warmly received than he was by that little girl, his daughter. And I want to say to you today that that's the way God would feel if you just take Him right where He is. If you just say, "Dear God, I know that I'm nothing. And Lord, I may not, maybe I have some things in the past and all that's in the past, Lord. I can't do anything about that. But Lord, the wisest thing that I could do now is I could take this day and I could invest it for you so that, Lord, I'm prepared for eternity. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I know that one day you're going to call me. One day it's going to be over. And Lord, I just want to be ready because, Lord, I know that I need God in my life. And I know that my life is short. I'm not going to be around real long. Lord, I just want to be ready." Just remember, wisest thing in all the world is to number your days as you apply your hearts to wisdom. Why don't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Why don't you just decide right now that you're going to invest your life for Christ and not waste away your life? Why don't you decide that today? How about start seeing things from an eternal perspective? How about that? What about eternity? The song, "When We've Been There 10,000 years? No. 10 trillion years? That's closer to it, but let's just eliminate the years and just say, when we with Christ, that's the end of it. See, we measure everything today by time, don't we? God said there's no time with Him. It's all eternity. Eternity future. Apply your heart to wisdom. You say, I invited a man once to church. I said, "Hey, you know, sir, we'd like, love to hear." Here's what he said to me. Listen to this. Here's what he said. "I don't have time for church." First of all, there's a couple of problems with that. Number one is, guess what? It's not his time to have. And number two, it's his choice on what he does with what time God lets him have. And the question is this: what time do you have that you can give to God? What about your life? Some people say, I'm just too busy. What happens if life finishes tonight? Are we prepared? That's the key. I want to be ready. And I trust you are as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord,